I'd like now to welcome Linda Siegel. She is here with our weekly legislative update. Welcome, Linda.
Good morning, Mayor Charlotte.
So the budget is what this 30-day session is primarily about, and how are we doing?
Well, the House Appropriations Committee, that's the committee that starts the budget every year, and they are just about to roll out their version of House Bill 2. I believe they're going to vote on that. At least it's scheduled for Monday. So they've been meeting with all the different departments and deciding what their recommended budget shall be. Now, what we're hearing is that there's some disagreement between the House and the Senate about how much money is really available. Even though everyone has agreed there's $254 million, our Senate Finance Chair, John Arthur Smith, from Deming, it wants to be more cautious. So I think that probably this House bill that comes out is going to have expended most of the $254 million.
That surplus we talked about last time?
Yes, the surplus, the extra money that has come in. And that the Senate's probably going to take some of that off in anticipation that we might not really make those revenues.
So how is the budget compared to last year's budget? I mean, give or take that $254 million.
Yeah, well, this year's budget will be somewhere in the vicinity of $5.6 billion. And last year we were at, or actually the current year that we're in, because the budget year begins July 1, the current year is about $5.4 billion. And, of course, we also have the competing tax reduction proposals. The governor came out with her proposed tax cuts to totally eliminate gross receipts tax on employers that only generate about $35,000 a year. I'm kind of tired today, sorry. And her $10 million training package, and getting rid of the tax pyramiding, which is where on every layer of the creation of a product or a service, there's a tax put on it, and she wants to get rid of that. And then at the beginning of this week, the Democrats came out with their tax cut proposals, including a $5,000 tax credit for graduates of our colleges and universities. If somebody hired one of those graduates, they'd get a tax credit, and a tax credit on agriculture and equipment, the purchase of equipment. So now we have the competing tax cut proposals.
Right.
And we'll have to see what the committees, the Appropriations Committee and the Finance Committees, do with those, because those have to be factored into the budget.
Now, there's also a bill that would tax out-of-state corporations at the same rate that New Mexico corporations get taxed at.
Yes, this is the infamous Peter Wirth, Senator Peter Wirth. He introduced it when he was a House member, too, and he's been working on it for 7 years. I think this is the seventh year.
And what's infamous? What's not to like?
Well, it's great, actually. Well, it's infamous from the other side's perspective. But it's a bill that this time looks at equalizing the corporate tax rates. Before, he's been working on trying to just tax the large corporations that are in our state in the combined reporting form. And this time, trying to accommodate the concerns of the opposition, this would be a bill that would make everybody pay the same amount of corporate tax. Essentially, that's the bottom line purpose of it. So it would lower the taxes on small corporations in New Mexico, because that's been our concern, that if you're a small corporation incorporated in New Mexico, you're paying a higher tax rate than Home Depot, Walmart, Kmart,
right,
Albertsons, whatever.
That doesn't seem fair.
Doesn't seem fair.
And so this would equalize it for everybody.
Yes.
Okay. Now, does that have support?
Well, it's not moving too fast. I don't even think it's had its first hearing yet.
Ah, okay.
And here we are, and I think we have, 20 days left, 19, 20 days.
Okay. Well, in a 30-day session, that's still a lot of days.
Oh, yeah, there's still plenty of time to move it, and I think it's got a lot of good support from a broad spectrum.
Now, what about the infamous driver's license issue that just won't die?
There's truly an infamous bill. Well, there was a hearing, the first hearing on it, in the House Labor Committee yesterday. It was about, I guess it was about a five-hour hearing, where the sponsor of the bill, Andy Nunez, who's a representative from the Las Cruces area, presented the same bill, the repeal, the straight across the board repeal of driver's licenses for immigrants. Both sides had a lot of testimony, the for the repeal bill, the against the repeal bill, and then the committee debated it, and then the committee substituted into that bill the compromise bill, the bill that puts stricter controls on immigrant driver's license.
So it wouldn't be a repeal?
No, it keeps immigrant driver's licenses in place. It puts stricter controls to help the issue that the governor says is the issue, which is fraud.
Yeah.
And
there have been, I was reading, somebody sent me an article, and there is a small handful of actual apparent fraud cases.
Yes, there, I believe the Associated Press dug up a number of people, 40 or 50 people, getting licenses, and they all live together in the same house. So there are problems. There are problems with all of our laws. I mean, that's why you have laws. People do bad things, and so there's fraud there. And what the compromise bill seeks to do is to keep the positive benefits of the driver's license bill, which keeps people who are here with insurance, who helps people have an identification card. I know for the Coalition Against Domestic Violence, it's very important that women have identification cards, because then it's easier for them to get protection orders if their spouse or partner is an abuser.
Very interesting.
Yes. So that bill now will go on to the next committee. I think it's House Judiciary, where there will be another hearing. Who knows what will happen? What could happen, depending on the votes in House Judiciary Committee, is the old repeal bill could be substituted back in.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it sounds like the repeal is dead.
The repeal is dead for the moment.
Yeah.
But the old bill could be substituted back in House Judiciary, or if the current bill, the compromise bill, passes House Judiciary, then when it goes to the floor of the House, where it's unclear if there are the votes to keep the compromise bill intact, what could happen on the floor of the House is the old repeal bill gets substituted back in.
Oh, you can do that?
Oh, yes.
Ah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We will keep on this bill. I mean, it could also happen that the bill dies in committee.
It's unlikely the bill will die in committee, but if a bill dies in committee, as you may recall what happened in the last session, is that it was blasted out of the committee and went to the floor of the House.
Oh, yeah,
anyway.
The blasting, right.
Yes.
Now, on to other controversial bills, the parental notification.
Yep, there hasn't been a hearing for that yet, but that's a bill that the governor put on the call. And that's requiring that parents be notified in advance if a minor female, wants to get an abortion. And that's another one of the dueling competitive beliefs. There have been rallies at the Capitol, the pro-choice rallies opposing bills like this. And then the few days before were the pro-life people rallying for bills like this. So these kinds of things happen at the Capitol all the time. We have quite a few rallies and press conferences and activities going on where hundreds of people come up and go around and talk to their legislators and leave notes, and that's a good thing.
And, okay, so when you think about parental notification, I have to ask, why a teenage girl who was pregnant wouldn't tell her parents?
Well, the reality is that most teenage girls who are pregnant do end up telling their parents, and often it's the parents or another relative that will take her to get an abortion. It's the situation where perhaps it's a parent or a relative who is the father of the child, or So in an incest situation or a rape situation where the young woman is embarrassed to tell her parents or
frightened for her life.
I mean, there can be all kinds of reasons that aren't very pleasant as to why a child would not tell her parents about it. Or she doesn't have parents. You know, maybe she's living with another relative or something.
Right. All right, so this is another one to watch. Now, yet another bill. The potential merging of the Cultural Affairs Department and the Tourism Department.
Yes. 2 years ago, there was a lot of money spent and a lot of time spent on reviewing government and looking at reorganization. Which departments could we combine together, or which compartments could we totally eliminate? What boards and commissions could we get rid of? Legislators and other people spent a lot of time. They came up with recommendations. And there were a number of recommendations, but one that came out was merging cultural affairs and with tourism. So the governor has, well, to go back, none of those recommendations were implemented. There were a number of bills, but nothing happened. So the governor really liked this one. And so she's once again trying to put those two departments together. And because they're statutorily created departments, they have to be statutorily combined departments. And that one hasn't had a hearing yet either. That's kind of slow on the hearing situation because
right.
Over 500 bills have been introduced.
Now, is there another Defense of Marriage?
Yes, what we call DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, which is defining marriage as that between one man and one woman. That's a constitutional amendment that's been introduced. And of course, remember our tutorials on constitutional amendments, that those have to pass both chambers of the House and the Senate and then go on the ballot in the next general election. So we have been one of the last remaining states, a handful of states, that has not had a ballot initiative on the defense of marriage, the definition of marriage.
How many states have actually put that into law, the heterosexual?
It's over 30 states.
30 states, the majority of the states in the union.
Yep.
Extraordinary.
Have had ballot initiatives where this has passed.
And so what does it look like in New Mexico?
Well, we hope that it won't pass out of the legislature. So we've been successful for the last 10 years in keeping legislation like that from passing. Either a statutory DOMA, which would just put into law the definition of marriage, and also the constitutional DOMAs.
What is that all about, besides closeted homosexuals being in denial about their own sexuality? I mean, that's a big part of it. It really is, ladies and gentlemen. But besides that, is it about anything besides that?
Well, it's kind of the social and cultural wars between people who have different philosophies. And for some reason, somehow, gay people being able to get married is a threat to some people's heterosexual marriages. And I couldn't tell you how that could be, but some people think it is.
Closet cases. Okay, what else?
Okay, the PRC.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Dan Garrity was just talking about that a moment ago.
Yes, yes. So there are several constitutional amendments again that would have to pass both chambers and go on the ballot in the next election to change the PRC to, I think one of the positive ones is creating some qualifications for PRC members, because right now there are none. And one of the constitutional amendments, I believe, has an education requirement, or at least a experience requirement, so that people will have had to work in one of the fields that's covered by the PRC. Because, of course, the PRC covers insurance and transportation and utilities. So these are huge areas. The PRC is one of the most powerful government entities in the state. Five people make decisions about our utility rates, the rates of commercial transportation vehicles, the insurance controlling how high our insurance premiums go every year.
And having experience in those areas, it doesn't come quickly, it doesn't come easily, and as I think a lot of us forget, our lives are regulated by rules that we rarely think about.
Right.
And order and disorder spring from the application or misapplication of those rules or how well they are or aren't thought out. And it is very, very important.
Yes, and very complicated. That's where the green energy ideas are being thrown around and requirements for utilities to get a percentage of their energy from green sources. I mean, these are huge issues for all of us.
Yeah.
And yet, you don't have to be much more than a warm body to serve in that capacity.
And a good campaigner.
I don't even know if that's the case, because remember, in the last election, there were so many candidates for the seat that Santa Fe is in that when Jerome Block won, he won with only 21% of the vote.
Oh, my goodness.
So, we'll see. I think there are a lot of candidates this time, too.
Okay, very interesting. Now, economic development?
That's where those tax bills are. The governor and the Democrats in the Senate, we haven't done anything to really create jobs yet. At least what government seems to think they can do in that arena. So when the Democrats came out with their plan, it's different than the governor's plan for cutting taxes. I mean, the only solution we seem to have to creating jobs is cutting taxes in certain areas or giving tax credits to different groups of people. And none of those bills are moving. But there are a lot of tax cut bills that have been introduced. The Tax and Revenue Committee in the House is going to be very busy because everyone wants a tax cut or a tax credit or something.
Very interesting. I wonder, when you look at a tax credit, a successful tax credit bill that has gone through, and then 2 years later you try to analyze how many jobs were created as
right.
a result of that, whether you can get data.
Well, that's one of the things that this year the Legislative Finance Committee has taken up, and they did this study and looked at all the tax credits, the gross receipts tax that we've eliminated, everything that we've done over the last 20 or so years in that arena, and we now give, this is a shocking number, $1 billion worth of tax credits and eliminated gross receipts tax. The core of our state's revenue comes from gross receipts tax, and we have been eroding that gross receipts tax by giving all these different industries and businesses and a few years ago, we gave the boxing industry a removal of their gross receipts tax. Now, did that help the boxing industry in New Mexico get
right.
better? I kind of doubt it.
Were we afraid we were going to get boxed if we didn't?
Well, that was one
that.
Of Richardson's things.
Uh-huh.
So there are these antiquated, perhaps, gross receipts tax eliminations. In 2003, we gave most healthcare providers removal of the gross receipts tax on certain healthcare funding sources like Medicaid.
It would be interesting if they could divide the budget and divide the taxable entities into luxuries and necessities.
There you go.
I can see removing tax on food and healthcare.
Sure, sure.
And kind of putting it back on boxing and
yeah.
and things that,
recreational activities
yeah.
and luxury boats. And we have a lot of need for those here in New Mexico.
Yeah, because we have so much of a coastline. All right. Well, good. Anything else? Any other bills? Any other issues? Any other messages for our listeners?
Well, I think just to remind everybody that this is our legislature. We have a very receptive and responsive group of legislators here in New Mexico. And if you've got ideas or positions on anything, call their office, send them an email, let them know what you're thinking, because they do represent us.
Linda Siegel is with us every Friday during the course of the legislative session for the legislative update. We will see you a week from today.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break, and Rob DeWalt is on deck. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm trying to get over that cold that everybody seems to have.
Yeah, it's a lingerer, too.
I know. It's a little bit of a fever.
The only thing that helps.
I know. I've been trying to do some sleeping, but, you know.
But here we are.
Here we are, chugging vitamin C and ginger tea.
I'm drinking coffee.
Well, that's all right. So this week, I just went on Twitter. I got a Twitter feed,
account?
Ladies and gentlemen.
All right, I got to have your Twitter address. What is
it? It's at Radio Cafe MC.
At Radio Cafe
MC. MC for Mary Charlotte.
Yeah.
And so I'm just kind of getting the hang of the fact that you have to say stuff on a regular basis. It's tricky business.
That's the thing, is that, like, you know, I have my Twitter account, my address.
Do you have Twitter?
On the bottom of my column. And I tweet probably once a week.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm really bad about it.
I've been told by a reputable source that you have to tweet 4 times a day.
4 times a day. All right. I'm going to get on that.
Well, we will tweet one another. But ladies and gentlemen, please follow me and I will follow you on Twitter.
Radio Cafe MC.
Yes.
At Radio.
Yeah, the little ampersand
the thing. Yes.
Yes. And some people... Like, I put Democracy Now! On because they're there and we carry Democracy Now! And they send out about 5 trillion things a day.
Yeah. Them and Breaking News.
Oh, Breaking News is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe if I tweet 4 times a day, I won't Facebook as much. You know? Maybe
you Facebook a lot.
I do. Well, I'm always on my laptop writing, either for work or for personal pleasure. And
I try to Facebook once a day and say what the next day's show is. And I don't even always get there, but usually get there. So you can go to facebook.com/radiocafe. I mean, social media are good and wonderful, but it's...
It can take over your life.
It's yet another thing to do in your day, and so... You know, let me know, ladies and gentlemen, if you use this stuff and if you listen to it and if it works for you.
Yeah, and let me know if anyone pays attention to the Pasatiempo Facebook page.
Ah,
that'd be
okay.
Awesome too.
All right, so what's going on this weekend? Yes. Take the words out of my head.
Now that we've had our social media discussion for the day, you know what? This is my favorite event in this time of year. It's the Super Bowl, not the football game. The S-O-U-P-E-R Bowl.
I, along with Ira Gordon from KBAC, am emceeing that.
Girlfriend,
tomorrow.
I'm going there with my mother.
Yay!
It's going to be awesome. Okay, so here's the
Tell
deal.
Tell us what it is.
All right, from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on Saturday, January 28th, the 18th annual Super Bowl. It takes place at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. And it's a fundraiser for the Food Depot that provides Santa Fans an opportunity to try some soups from local chefs and restaurants and caterers and so there's tons of categories that you get to vote for. When you get your ticket, you get ballots, and there's one for creamy soup and one for vegetarian soup.
That's right.
And then there's one for best overall soup. And so basically the prize for the chefs is bragging rights, but the prize for the community is the Food Depot. It earns a lot of money to stock their shelves.
And provides food for a lot of people.
Yes. I think there's more than 30 local restaurants participating this year.
That's right.
So anyway, if you go to, if you call 471-1633, there might be some tickets left.
Okay.
Or you can go to the Food Depot's website, too.
Which I think is thefooddepot.org.
Yes.
All
but
right.
If you call, just tell Sherry Hooper that we said hi.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, Collected Works Bookstore, Michael Gelb and Kelly Howell are talking about their book, Brain Power, Improve Your Mind as You Age. The book offers practical, evidence-based information that helps readers understand and optimize their mental powers. So that sounds like good stuff.
I need mental powers.
And that's tomorrow at 4 in the afternoon. We all need mental powers.
I know. I mean, I need to be able to find my car keys in the morning.
Well, you know, I've been thinking there must be some device where you could say, "Keys, where are you?" and clap three times, and they'll say, "Here I am."
I think it's called a clapper.
They have those.
Clap on, clap off. The clapper.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a keychain that's actually a clapper, too.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I need one of those.
Okay.
Lori Fiorentino is going to be playing her Sunday music set at Collected Works Bookstore at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And wonderful musician. And then Monday, January 30th at 6 o'clock, the poet Rosé presents The Pearl Upon the Crown, 8 cantos. And Rosé was born Sanford Cohen in Bronx, New York in 1934. He renamed himself Rosé, and he began performing as a poet and storyteller. His best known performance was at the United Nations in New York City in conjunction with the exhibit that he produced titled Swords into Plowshares, the Tony Price Atomic Exhibition. Okay, and then Charlie Newton, who is an acclaimed crime fiction writer who I will be interviewing on Monday morning on this program, will be at Collected Works on Tuesday night at 6 in the evening with his talking about his new book, his second novel called Start Shooting, and it's a gritty Chicago crime novel.
Yeah.
Gangs and
urban
mischief and
violence,
evil
and dames and
yeah, but I mean it's basically full of tough broads and dudes. It's intense. And let's see. And then February 1st and 2nd at 10:45 in the morning, Collected Works offers a 45-minute children's story time session. It's every Wednesday and Thursday at 10:45 in the morning. Bring your early readers aged 6 months to 5 years, and they'll be talking about picture books and reading rhyming poems and all that kind of good stuff.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Excuse me. My voice, like, is an octave lower this morning for some reason. I'm not sure why. I think it's that lingering cold. But it's kind of nice.
Yeah,
you know?
You've been taking those little... Never mind. and don't forget our cat of the week.
Oh, goody. I was hoping we would get to this.
We always have the cat of the week. Valentine's Day is coming, and you can give your sweetheart a kitty. Let's see. This week's featured cat is called Sassy Face. She's a beautiful and playful girl. She has a short black and white coat, and she would love to be your Valentine. And that's Sassy Face talking in the background, ladies and gentlemen. You can also visit the cats at featured weekly at Petco in Santa Fe, and adoption advisors will be there Thursday through Saturday from 10 to 4, and at Tecatu in San Busco the first Saturday of every month, 10 to 2. And you can look on the website at fandfnm.org.
fandfnm.org. Wow.
Yep.
This looks pretty cool. There's a one-woman show by Lauren Weedman. You probably have seen her on The Daily Show, right? And she's got this one-woman show, comedy show, that's at the Lodge at Santa Fe tonight at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at ticketsantafe.org. Now, the name sounds familiar, but I'm not really sure which one of these people from The Daily Show, because you watch The Daily Show, right?
I do, but not every day.
Excuse me. Also, oh my gosh, the Winter Fiesta. The Winter Fiesta is upon us, and there's so much going on. I'm not going to mention all of it, but I wrote about it in my Soundwaves column today, and I want to mention that things really get started on the 3rd of January, but D-Numbers is one of my favorite bands is going to be playing. The thing is, you got to get tickets now for these things, because if you don't get tickets, then it costs more when you're there at the door. So if you buy a Winter Fiesta pass, then you get discounts at all of these amazing events that are, there's culinary events, there's music events, and blah, 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 blah. Check out SantaFe.com and go to their Winter Fiesta page. You can find out all about it. But I just wanted to mention it because last year a lot of these events were a little crowded, and some people got turned away at the door. So, but D Numbers is celebrating their 10th anniversary at the Farmers Market Pavilion on the 3rd, and that's a show that everybody should go see. And also, I think there's some other great bands playing during that. Let's see, we've got Grupo Fantasma, right?
Grupo Fantasma.
I think it's a 10. It's a 10-person orchestra.
Really?
Latin orchestra, yeah. Latin funk kind of stuff. Cool. That's on the 28th. And I think I got the date wrong. The D Number show is actually on the 20th. This is tonight, I believe. So go to SantaFe.com and check out the Winter Fiesta schedule. And what else is happening? Ooh, Jean Quick to See Smith. This is going to be an awesome show. Landscapes of an American Modernist at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum.
Yes.
And there's an opening. No, there is no reception tonight, but it is opening tonight. There's a great story in Paso Tiempo today about it. And the show's up through April 29th. The story is fantastic in the Paso Tiempo today, but the show is going to be amazing. Bringing all these works of hers together and having them in one place finally is pretty monumental.
By the way, Grupo Fantasma is also going to be in Albuquerque.
Yay.
That's tonight at the El Rey Theater.
Oh, at the El Rey?
Yeah.
Cool.
And then tomorrow in Santa Fe. So our listeners that might be listening in Albuquerque, you can check out the El Rey tonight.
Amen.
And the New Mexico Committee National Museum of Women in the Arts 2012 Remarkable Women Honoree Sandy Zane. Okay, that's the name of the event. That's a lot of words. Okay, performers. Donald Rubenson, performance artist, writer, and singer. And that's Sunday, the 29th of January at 3 o'clock at the Zane Bennett Gallery on South Guadalupe Street. And for more information, you can go to newmexicowomeninthearts.org. You can also call for tickets, 988-1234. Do you have more information on that? That's what they sent me.
And what day is it?
Sunday.
And what is it?
Donald Rubenstein?
Dun, 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 dun. I don't.
Okay. Well, look on their website.
Sorry.
That's okay. All right, what else?
What else? We've got a great show happening at Red Dot Gallery, which was like one of my new favorite galleries in town. It's over there on Canyon Road. Lumen, IAIA, work by Institute of American Indian Art students, faculty, and alumni. There's a reception tonight from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. And that's up through February 20th. But this is a great gallery because it supports artists from IAIA and supports artists from Santa Fe Community College. And if you want to see work by younger artists, this is a great place to go do it. In the Canyon Road area, anyway. What else have we got going on? We've got a benefit concert at Santa Fe High School tonight. Highlights from the Beauty and the Beast. It's a choir performance. And that's 7:33 p.m. That's not 7:30, not 7:40. 7:33 p.m. you got to be there.
So if you arrive at 7:30, you'll have a three-minute head start.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure why they insist on having their show start at 7:33, but there must be some kind of tradition that happens at Santa Fe High. If someone knows, please call me or email me and explain it to me, because
yes,
it's very confusing.
And then we'll hear about it next weekend.
Here's a great thing. Last week, High Mayhem Studio did Distortion by Design, which was a multimedia art installation by Vadi Grantis and Helen Grulke. Tomorrow night, they're going to sort of do a replay of the sort of live performance of that. Over there at High Mayhem's first, for those who missed it, it's from 6 to 9 p.m. on Saturday over there at High Mayhem on Siler Lane, and there's a suggested donation at the door.
And the Arden Shakespeare Festival is kicking off its whole new direction and new season, which begins full on in the spring and summer of this year, with A Taste of Shrew, which is directed by Deborah Dennison. It's The Taming of the Shrew, but it's cool. We had them on the air the other day. That's an abridged version of The Taming of the Shrew. Mm-hmm. It's all Shakespeare,
right?
But it's just shortened so that it will fit into a school class period, so they can take it to schools.
Ah.
Which is super cool. And that's
so Warehouse 21.
At Warehouse 21. And at 2 o'clock, Louis Fantasia, who's an amazing American director, who is apparently the first American director to direct at London's Globe Theatre, he is doing a presentation called The Building of the Globe at 2 o'clock, and then the performance is from 3 to 4. And after that, there's a champagne and mulled wine reception with the actors after the performance. It's all at Warehouse 21. And food and drink are included for reservations, 983-4002 or asfest.org.
Awesome. You know what else is happening at Warehouse 21?
What?
Tonight, actually.
What?
Is, if I can find it real quick. There's a metal show tonight, okay? We've got Veil of Miscreation.
Heavy metal?
Heavy metal.
That was good.
Veil of Miscreation. Thank you. Been working on it. Veil of Miscreation, the Eden Betrayal of all forms, and Obelisk. And that starts at 7:30 tonight over there at Warehouse 21.
Most people need machines to do that.
Huh?
Most people need machines.
No, you just got to listen to a lot of
metal. And it just comes right out.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know if I could do
it
that.
It helps to be a little sick, too.
Yeah, that's. I'm a little sick.
Try it. No, okay. Off the air, we'll try it. I'll coach you if you want. We can start our own metal band.
Yeah, because there are very, very important things to do like that.
Oh, got to have fun with it. What else? Performance at the Screen continues at the at the Screen.
At the Screen.
Obviously. HD Series continues with a premiere broadcast of Il Trittico? Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
From London's Royal Opera House at 11 a.m. on Sunday at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design campus is where the Screen is. And let's see. There are different prices for seniors and students and adults and whatnot. But if you call 473-6494, you can find out more about it. And there's an encore of this performance on Sunday, February 19th. So if you want to go see some opera, that would be the place to go do it.
Oh, there it is. Il Trittico.
Yeah, Il Trittico.
By Puccini. Conducted by Antonio Pappano.
Huh. Ah.
Starring Lucio Gallo, Eva Maria Westbrook, Anya Harteros, Anna Larson, and Elena Cilio. Sung in Italian with English subtitles. 3 hours and 45 minutes includes two intermissions. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, on Wednesday the 1st, the Fred Eagle Smith Traveling Show is upon us. Americana singer, songwriter, and his band is going to be at the Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 1st. Jennifer Levin wrote an awesome story about it in Pasta Tiempo on page 34 today. Tickets are available at ticketsantafe.org. Clear your schedule for Wednesday at Santa Fe Soul because that's going to be a great show. And Fred Eagle Smith is just a character for sure.
Cool.
So I recommend reading the article and then going to the concert.
And on Camp Love Wave tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, Camp Love Wave brings back rock musician filmmaker Ben Stewart. Ben made Esoteric Agenda, Kaimatika, and his latest movie, Ungrip, and they will take Collins.
Hey, did we mention the preview of Benchwarmers 11?
No.
Can you believe it's been 11?
11 years.
11 years.
That's many, many years.
That's a lot of warm benches.
A lot of your warm benches.
That's a lot of butts and seats. Preview one-act plays by local playwrights presented by Santa Fe Playhouse at 8 p.m. on Thursday the 2nd over there at Santa Fe Playhouse is on DeVargas Street. Great little playhouse. Continues Thursdays through Sundays through February 26th, so there's time. There's a story on page 36 in today's Pasta Tiempo, but the preview is Thursday. And I'm sure there'll be some sort of a gala on the following Friday, which would be the 3rd.
So check this out. 9 p.m. every Friday. DJ Leo, the Doctor of Salsa, is up at the lodge, and he has wowed dancers in the past few weeks with his excellent mix of timeless salsa, cumbia, bachata, merengue, and other unique dance tracks from the Latin world. It's every Friday, and it's free, ladies and gentlemen. He also has a video projection illustrating the dance steps, and it's all at the lodge, which is on North St. Francis Drive. It's basically the last thing on your left before you leave Santa Fe going north. For more information, 603-7118. Good stuff.
Good stuff. Hey, contra dance. We've talked about this before.
Yes.
Have you ever contra danced?
In college, I did some contra dancing. It's like square dancing.
It's like square dancing?
It was fun.
Is the music less square?
I'm sure somebody will want to hit me over the head for saying that it's like square dancing, but it's more like square dancing
than
salsa is. Yeah, there's calls.
Right, there's people call out different things to do, right? Well, it's New England folk dance, basically, on Saturday, the Virginia Creepers are going to be playing live music to contra dance, and Maddie Milani is going to be doing some calls. 7 p.m. beginner class, dance at 7:30 p.m. It's over there at Odd Fellows Hall, which isn't as odd as it sounds. Over there on Cerritos Road. If you call 820-3535, you can find out more information. Ticket prices are fairly low. So if you want to
dance,
music, get over there.
Dancing is good. The City of Santa Fe is doing business development assistance for artists offered by the Santa Fe Arts Commission. and it happens between the end of January 31st and March 27th. And classes will include overviews of free or inexpensive online marketing tools. There's things like Dead on the Web, Ignite Your Site, and Have No Fear, Using Social Networks for Your Business, and all kinds of things like that. And if you want more information, go to Santa Fe Creative Tourism, write to... here's what they said. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here's what they said. RSVP at www.santafecreativetourism@gmail.com. That can't be right.
That can't be right.
They combined a website and an email address. So you're on your own. Try to figure it out. I think try santafecreativetourism.org.
Here's That's one thing guess. You don't have to figure out. Jono Manson, one of my favorite songwriters, lives here in New Mexico, spends a lot of time in Italy as well. Has teamed up with Crystal Bowersox, who, you know, I used to watch American Idol a lot, and I don't anymore, but Crystal Bowersox was, like, my favorite contestant because she was actually a real person, you know? And
opposed to a kangaroo?
As opposed to a manufactured sort of, you know, TV personality, you know, singing a bunch of junk. Great, great voice. If you love Janis Joplin, Melissa Etheridge, Faith Hill, you're going to love Crystal Bowersox, and, of course, Jono Manson. As far as I'm concerned, musically, can do very little wrong. They're going to be performing together at 8 p.m. Saturday, January 28th, at Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill. There's advanced tickets available if you go to soulofsantafe.com. You can find out more information about tickets. Doors open at 7 o'clock if you want to, you know, have a frothy beverage before the show.
A frothy beverage.
Yes.
Today, along with everything else, is Tech Friday at Santa Fe Complex. Are you ready to be an entrepreneur? That's a presentation by Roger O'Brien today from 11:55 a.m. to 1 p.m. And the New Mexico Tech Council and Santa Fe Complex are sponsoring that. It's a new lunchtime talk series called Tech Friday. It's the fourth Friday of the month. It's dedicated to startups. And Roger O'Brien will be asking the question and helping you answer, are you ready to be an entrepreneur? So
I'm ready.
Check out, what's their website? I think it's sfcomplex.org. And they've got lots of good stuff going on there. They've got a gaming night on Mondays from 6 to 10. They're going to be playing board games and card games. I love that.
Board games and card games?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
I love board games and card games.
Yeah. I always say I don't, and then I get roped into them, and I have a good time.
I know, exactly.
It's always fun to learn a new game, because the new person always usually wins.
Always usually wins.
New Mexican writers' rejection in New York City sets the stage for 23 flights home. It's a story presented by drama students from the New Mexico School for the Arts. Written by the chair of the school's theater department, Mr. Joey A. Chavez, who we love, right?
Yes, we do.
So anyway, this performance is at the James A. Little Theater tonight and Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. and 2 p.m. on Sunday. There's joint performances with Winter Dances with students of the school's dance department. So if you call 310-4194, you can get reservations. Tickets are fairly priced for that event.
Excellent. Now, at the CCA, they're doing some interesting stuff. Sing Your Song is the inspiring story of real-life hero Harry Belafonte, and that's ongoing at the CCA Cinematheque. And then My Week with Marilyn starts Friday, I guess starts today. And do you know anything about that movie?
My Week with Marilyn.
Marilyn Monroe?
All I know is,
it looks like. Yeah.
is I don't know much about it at all.
Kenneth Branagh plays Sir Laurence Olivier, and Michelle Williams plays Marilyn Monroe.
I hear that she turns a really great performance, though.
And then The Way, Emilio Estevez's film, which is really, really good, is playing there. I guess it was in the multiplex for a while. Now it's at the CCA, which is terrific. Crazy Wisdom about Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, the brilliant bad boy of Buddhism. And the final show, it says today, but I don't know what day that was, of Melancholia. I don't know. That might be gone.
Okay.
Three superstars in Berlin. Three of the biggest names come together for once-in-a-lifetime performance. Opera superstar Anna Netrebko. And Anyway, check that out. And Made in New Mexico opens Wednesday, the 1st of February. And that's a documentary celebrating the film and media industry in our state with firsthand account from producers, directors, and technicians and industry leaders. And I think it's great that New Mexico, what I used to call the New Mexico's burgeoning film industry, has made a film about itself. and then a movie called Dirty Business opens on Thursday, the 2nd of February, and that's about, and it's in quotations, clean coal.
Oh, no.
And lots of other good stuff coming up. So we'll try to get some of those directors on the air. But meanwhile, check out ccasantafe.org for not only their movies, but everything great that's going on there.
Yes, and Michael Wade Simpson wrote a great review of Joffrey, Mavericks of American Dance. Today's Post Tempo, that is opening at the screen. Describes the roller coaster careers of Robert Joffrey and Gerald Arpino, founders of the Joffrey Ballet Company. He gave it 3 chilies. And I've seen snippets of it, and it looks pretty good.
I love dance movies.
I do, too. There's another one coming out in a couple of weeks, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's in 3D.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty cool.
That's awesome.
What else? I know it's Regal de Vargas, but Albert Nobbs is opening. Glenn Close playing a man.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
Have you seen this? The trailer?
I saw
for
the
this?
Picture, yeah.
Right. You know, sort of back during this time, you know, around 1916 or perhaps even a bit earlier, person who lived as a man because she had more rights that way. She had more freedom. She had more access to happiness.
So this is about a woman living as a man, played by a woman, playing a man, living as a man,
as a woman.
Playing a woman. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Hey, this is one we must announce. The Genoveva Chavez Community Center is hosting a massage open house. And they invite you to check out their massage therapy services on Saturday, that's tomorrow, from 10 to 2. And the massage therapist will be on hand to provide free 15-minute massages to patrons and of the center and the public. They've got great massage therapists there, so check it out. Genoveva Chavez Community Center.
Genoveva Chavez Community Center. The Taos Winter Wine Festival continues through Saturday the 28th. So get up there. There's going to be seminars, food, wine tastings, dinners at various places around the Taos Ski Valley. If you go to TaosWinterWineFestival.com, you can find out more info. Or you can call 946-8506. But this is a great time. It's a great escape. And the weather is perfect for it.
The weather is perfect for it. And I'm hearing the music.
Oh, no.
It says it's time to go.
Oh, okay.
And, no, I'm not hearing music in my head.
Okay, I was like, well, it's just
in my headphones.
Oh, okay.
We've been talking with Rob DeWalt. Speaking of the arts, Rob is with the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday arts magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican East, with us just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, and thank you for getting up early and driving all the way in, Rob DeWalt.
It is my pleasure.
It is our pleasure.
I was afraid I wasn't going to be on time today, but
well,
here
it worked out great. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe and the new Twitter feed at Radio Cafe MC. Thanks to the wonderful Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz a la carta. And I think Helga Ancona is sitting in for Ricardo Perez for the full 3 hours. So check it out. Lots of good Brazilian stuff. Lots of good jazz. Lots of good music. Hasta la vista.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.